ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba.
Why does this sound so much better on a Friday than it does on a Monday?
Oh, do you think it does? Uh-huh. Why do you think that?
I don't know, because the weekend is upon us.
Yeah. Well, doesn't, but couldn't you then say that of almost everything?
Yeah, I just, this was really a real big Monday morning for me because I did something every day this weekend. I don't like
no
to
downtime
do...
No downtime at all?
Nah, I don't like to do more than one thing a day.
Yeah.
Usually not one thing in the weekend.
Right.
But and this I was time, busy.
Because why?
We had an anniversary dinner Friday night, Jimmy Mack and
again,
I.
Again, a happy anniversary to both you
Thank
and Jimmy.
You. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
We didn't do gifts. We
did
just,
you go just the two of you or did the boys accompany
no,
you?
No, just us.
Oh, romantic.
Champagne.
Romantic.
We had a glass of champagne and some steak dinners, and that was Friday night. And then we are just so hip and happening with, you know, a full belly. We went home and fell asleep on the couch.
Oh, that's romantic too, isn't
it? I know.
It
was a little cuddling. Yes, it was.
Oh.
But fell asleep because, you know, a big dinner like that. Saturday, went to see Sven Gulli get a 40th anniversary award at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Well deserved.
And then last night, did a little Red Lobster with the family.
Wow, look at you. Look at you. You're like a social butterfly now.
And we went at 8 o'clock because Dylan, my youngest, likes to go to dinner at when it's dark out because then he feels like he's on vacation. And I kind of get what he's talking about.
Wait, explain. I'm not sure I understand that.
It just seems like a more of an event if you go out to dinner a little later than like a 6 o'clock dinner time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he wanted to go.
Is that your normal dinner time is 6?
Most people, not us. We never eat at 6.
That's too early for me.
Like if you were, when you were growing up and your mom made dinner, wasn't it like 6 o'clock?
Well, we had the two dinner system at my house.
Oh, that's right.
We would have dinner twice, almost every night.
How are you not heavy?
I don't know. If you do the math on it and you're eating twice the food.
And you ate both dinners?
Yeah.
Explain this to listeners that have just tuned in.
All right. My mom had a dance studio that was in our house. So we would have dinner during a break, like usually around 7:30.
Okay, so you were late people.
So that was dinner number one. My dad came home from work at 10, and we would then have a second dinner when, this sounds so gluttonous, because it was. That's too many dinners.
And it was two different dinners. It wasn't like, here's Sloppy Joe's early, and then dad comes home and we're going to heat up the Sloppy Joe's again.
No, it was... I think it was always different. I don't remember the time where dinner was the same at 7:30.
Your mom
10.
Was a saint, man. I'm not kidding. She took care of you guys.
She did. The first dinner was usually something that was, I can't say effortless, but it was easy.
Like mac and cheese?
We never had mac and cheese.
What?
It was just something small and simple just to say we were having dinner.
Like, give me an example, like a BLT?
It was like pizza bagels. We had those kind of, you know, just something you could throw in a toaster or a microwave.
Oh, so that wasn't really a dinner. That was a snack. That wasn't a dinner. Bagel bites does not constitute a dinner.
I'm trying to think of a better example. Sometimes she would go to Oak Foods, which doesn't mean much to you, but in Oak Forest, that was a big deal. And they would have, you know how now, I guess Jewel does this too. They would have, pieces of chicken and you could get pieces of chicken and like big steak fries.
Everybody
or something.
Has it now.
Yeah, it's common. But when I was a kid, only Oak Foods had it. So, you know, once or twice a week, she would run and get that. So we would have that. It was dinner, but it wasn't the grand scale of dinner. That came at 10 o'clock. And boy, doctors will tell you if you're going to have dinner, 10 o'clock is the best time to have it because then you go right to bed and it just lays in your stomach. So that was great. And then you throw on the fact that that was our second dinner of the night. We didn't do it every night, but more nights than not, it was two dinners in a night.
We typically don't eat dinner. If I'm cooking, which I haven't been cooking that much anymore, it's usually between 8:30 and 9 because Michael works until
8:15. So you wait till he gets home until everybody's there.
Yeah, because I like to do. And then I don't make two dinners.
Most people don't. I knew at the time, because sometimes I'd say to my friends, during our second dinner, I'd tell them a story, and I'm like, during the first, and they go, what does that mean, second dinner? And I explain, and you just saw a lot of kids, just, it didn't make sense to them.
Isn't that Taco Bell, the fourth meal or something?
Yeah, I've heard that referred to as the fourth meal. Yeah.
They stole that from your mom.
Yeah, my mom.
Two dinners,
right.
And it's just...
Right. But you know how when you grow up around something, even though it's strange...
That's all you know.
You grew up with it, so you go, well, that... But I knew other people weren't doing it. I knew that... Although, I think I've said this. We had a couple of neighbors, friends of ours, who had a lot of kids in their family, so they would have dinner in shifts because their table wasn't big enough. The family behind me had 9 boys, so they
that
would...
That poor woman.
Oh, yes. Yes.
My God, I can't handle
9 boys.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She, you know, to her credit, like when you think about her, like you've never seen her, you're envisioning her looking really tired and ragged,
yeah.
Right? Not really. Ball of energy. But they would always have dinner. There was a 6 o'clock and there was a 7:30 dinner over there.
The 6 o'clock showing.
The 6 o'clock showing, the matinee showing. And so they would get assigned which dinner to attend. And then my friend Nick had 6 or 7 kids in his family, and they would do the same. Their table wasn't big enough to accommodate the whole family at once, so they would also eat in shifts. The mom would eat at the first dinner. The dad would eat at the second dinner.
So there was always a parent present.
Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that strange?
Growing up, my mom cooked dinner pretty much every night, and she worked. This was after my dad died,
yeah.
So I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
My mom worked at a school, and she would be home like 4-ish, go to the Jewel, pick up. There was always like a meat, a vegetable, and a starch.
It's a well-balanced diet.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, so it would be maybe pork chops,
yeah,
and green beans and scalloped potatoes,
oh,
or something.
That's solid.
But she did that every night, and my sister got off the train at 6:05, so we would eat pretty much at 6:14 every night.
That was fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I know Jim's dad worked. He had a car dealership and wouldn't get home till after 9, so growing up, he didn't eat dinner till after 9.
Then he ate by himself?
No. They all waited.
They waited for him?
Yeah.
Good. That's the
but
way
that's
be.
When they had... So I guess your dinner time varies. But Dylan likes, you know, like to go out to a restaurant. It makes him feel like he's on vacation if we go when it's dark outside. And now we could just wait till 5:30.
Yeah, that's not a challenge now.
No.
In the summer it is.
Yeah.
Because
that's like 9 o'clock. And next weekend we fall back. So we get an extra hour of sleep.
Yes. Yes.
God, I love that.
It
used to be this weekend. It always
right.
was because of our
right.
anniversary. I remember at our wedding,
right.
we got to turn the clock back.
Yeah.
We still had to pay for the hour. It didn't work that way.
That's not fair.
But they moved it now to November.
Yeah. Yep.
So next weekend, fall back.
Yep.
Don't spring ahead.
No, I know. Have you ever been on the air during the change in time?
Yes.
So do you get... So you'll either have to work an extra hour,
mm-hmm.
or you get an extra hour free time,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. But you have to work it has to be, obviously, the late night shift to
Yeah,
because
2 a.m. is when it happens. It happened on the loop many times, and I didn't like when we sprang forward.
Only back.
Yes, because
right,
when
you
sprung
off.
Forward, your 5.5-hour shift would turn into a 6.5-hour shift.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get sick of playing Bob Seger all that time.
Wendy, bite your tongue. How could you ever get sick of Against the Wind?
Although I'm upset, I didn't realize Bob Seger came to town and I should have gone to see him. He was, I think, at the United Center, maybe?
He said that you hurt his feelings by not attending. Bob Seger said that.
It was the same night as Deep Purple, and Jim bought the tickets for Deep Purple in advance, and then I was like, oh, if I had to pick, I would have gone Bob Seger
yeah.
all the way.
But you might not have had the family experiences.
They would have all gone.
Oh, they were all right with that? Yeah?
But it was too late.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I love Bob Seger.
Jasmine and I were keeping it from you. We knew. And they actually sent free tickets. But I said to Jasmine, don't confuse Wendy. She's already got the Deep Purple tickets. Don't
no
go.
One gets
don't
some
be, don't
free
be upset
tickets
him.
Anymore. I mean, do you remember working in radio? You'd get T-shirts. There is really no swag that we get anymore.
What happened? Why did that go away?
I don't know.
Who was the guy? There was some guy that used to come by Q. When you and I did mornings at Q101, he would come by with a bag and he would bring buttons and T-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff with different band logos. Do you remember that guy? An older guy? I don't know who that guy was, but he always had like this goodie bag, and you could get, you know, buttons with your favorite band names on them and stuff.
How many buttons did you take?
Oh, hundreds.
I don't remember that.
Hundreds. All those Proclaimer buttons, they came from him.
I walked 500 miles to get for one this of those buttons.
You don't remember that guy?
No.
He was an older guy. He'd been in the business forever, and he did promotions for somebody, for some
for
record
Q101?
Company. No, not for Q101, for a record company, because he'd come by once or twice a month.
If you're listening, sir, I'm sorry I don't remember you, but evidently, I don't even remember hanging out with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And wow. That was even before that.
If you don't remember that, who knows what you remember and don't remember. He was a really nice guy. Like, he would tell us stories about the old days of music. And it was, so keep in mind, Q101's target audience were people like 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
But this guy at the time was in his probably late 50s or early 60s.
So our age.
He was the
then.
Oldest guy that ever went into Q101 for any reason. Because everybody there was so much younger. And then this guy would come in. But he was, you know who would know is James Van Osdell would know.
He knows everything.
And he would write a book about this guy if he had the chance. He would just come in and everybody loved him and respected him because he, you know, like I said, he was there when music was becoming a bigger thing.
I got to read his book because I have his book. There's a whole chapter on us.
I know.
You know?
I know.
JVO.
Yeah.
Who does his car con carne, which is just awesome, where he gets local bands in his car to sing as they're going to get food. It's just such a cool concept.
So it's like comedians in cars getting coffee, but with more of a musical spin to
it. And like the car karaoke that James Corden does, but there's a better spin because it's usually a band and they play in the car.
Oh.
It's cool.
Oh, that does sound good. That does sound good.
I'm surprised
you don't have a music-based podcast. Have you ever thought about that?
I don't have any time to do anything that I want to do in my life. Not yet.
It's the time element?
Yeah, I just...
If you got offered, let's say some syndicate came to you and said, hey, we know what you do. We know your love of music. We want to plug this in once a week. You'll talk to a band. You wouldn't do that?
You know how nervous I get talking to musicians.
Which is strange because that's your favorite thing.
I love them, but I just get nervous. Because they've all been jerks in the past, and you just never...
Some of them.
My vision of that is they're going to be rude and obnoxious.
Right.
And
but some have been very nice. You
none
just
of
don't
them
know.
Have really been mean to me. Elvis Costello was mean to me once.
Yeah.
Because I was smoking, and he had just quit smoking. Oh. He was kind of rude to me, but then he kind of made up for it when I told him I named my cat after him.
That won him over?
Well, not really, because then he said, your cat, I can see naming your kid after me, but your cat, really, Declan? Thanks.
Did you tell him that your cat smokes?
No.
How would he
God
react rest to
my
that?
Little cat's body.
He would have reacted very strangely to that.
He would have laughed. But really, there's been no like real jerks I've met, and Pete Townsend I was real worried about, and he was super nice.
Yeah.
He's so nice now. He did something on Instagram or something talking about how the band's going to take a little time off and he's going to work on some solo stuff.
Yeah.
And then if he can get Roger to get off his butt and do something, that they'd be doing stuff again. It was just, and he thanked all the fans for, they just wound up their tour.
Yeah.
And Pete was just saying, you know, thank you. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you for support. I just thought it was so nice.
I can get, if you're interested, I'm not forcing your hand. I can get you in. You know the radio syndicate that I have my rock and roll show.
What's your show called again?
Rock Tracks. And that's on weekends. And it's very popular, Wendy. And I can get you in to do that if you want. We've got big names. We got a lot of, well, not a lot, but.
Name.
Well, names. This week we had Boz Scaggs on.
That was the only guest you ever had on
He's
that show.
He's on a lot. We have Boz Scaggs on a lot with
There's only so much you can glean from a Boz Scaggs interview.
Wendy, first of all, if you haven't heard it, don't criticize. Because I was also surprised, because we've had him on a lot. He holds the record for being our most frequent guest. But that guy has some stories, Boz Scaggs. So I can talk to the people who do our shows and see if they could do a similar show with you. But don't take the name Rock Tracks, because that's mine. And Tracks is spelled T-R-A-X-X.
Oh, double X.
I'm
for double the fun.
Two X's, yeah.
Do you know Boz Scaggs is 75 years old?
We just talked about that a few weeks ago. Here's a little snippet. I said, Boz Scaggs, what are you, like 75? And he just nods. He didn't even say anything. He just nods. And I go, that must be crazy. And he just nodded again. It's a good one.
I'm sorry.
We did bonus time
that.
On that one. That one, we were only supposed to do 45 minutes, and we ended up doing 47 because he was nuts that day, Buzz Skaggs.
I don't know if I'd want to do it. You know what I would want to do? I'm telling you, on Access TV, Dan Rather, the big interview show, I would just like to sit front row in the audience for every one of those.
Do they have an audience for that show?
No, but I would like to just sit there in a comfortable chair and watch it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the work. I admire Dan Rather so much.
Did you have any idea that Dan Rather knew as much about music as he does before the show happened?
No, and I mean, obviously he does his research, but you can tell when someone's done their research and when someone like has genuine feelings about stuff. And Dan Rather's a rocker, I'm telling you.
I know he is. You don't have to sell me on that. You know who was great with musicians and rock and roll stars?
Who?
Bob Costas.
Yes.
He was fantastic with them.
I love Bob Costas. Yes. And I'm not that into sports. I'm really not. I love watching Blackhawks, and I watch
the Bears.
You can say
the Bears because that doesn't count as sports.
I watch. My face is so disappointed right now. I know no one can see it.
That counts as self-torture. That's what that counts as.
I watch the White Sox. But I will not watch sports interview shows or things like that.
No?
It's just not my cup of tea. I don't want to waste my time doing it.
Did you ever see the show that Bryant Gumbel has on HBO, Real Sports?
Real Sports, yeah. He's pretty good at that.
That's outstanding.
But I don't care enough about the people.
All right.
But Bob Costas, I could watch do anything.
When he hosted Later, it was such an eclectic mix of, it was usually celebrities, you know, from the world of show business.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it was politicians, sometimes it was athletes, sometimes it was musicians. And no matter who it was, he was well-versed on everything they did. I mean, I always liked him because I thought he was a great sports announcer. And then they gave him Later, and every night I would just marvel at his breadth of knowledge in every direction.
He was really good.
So good. And then they gave it to Carson Daly because they said, let's go in the other direction and see what happens.
Can I tell you, I don't love Carson Daly, and he came from MTV.
Yes.
He does a great job emceeing The Voice. Listen, not a talk show. They should have never given that to him.
I know.
But he emcees The Voice. He does a really good job. He really does. I didn't want to like him. I do.
And then you did. All right. I've never seen The Voice, so I don't know.
He's just, he brings out the contestants. He talks to the judges, and he just does a really
passable job.
It's good.
It's good. All right. I believe you.
Talk show he never should have had.
No.
That.
And it's still, he's
no,
had that
he
show
does
for,
not.
Yeah. It's Last Call with Carson Daly.
Still on?
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll find out why Last Call with Carson Daly is still on, and then we'll come back. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Can I say thank you to Ryan Burrow really quickly, Wendy?
Yes.
We'll just take a second. Thank you, Ryan Burrow.
He's not going to say you're welcome.
He's selfish.
I have to tell you an off-air thing about Eric Zorn, who was on 7:20 a.m. with us earlier.
Which one is he? Eric
the
Zorn?
Columnist from
the
Tribune.
Yeah.
He is filled with blank and vinegar a lot of the time.
Yeah? Why do you say that?
He's
his demeanor. It's the way he is.
I mean, he is, I can't think of good adjectives other than filled with and vinegar.
Yeah.
Yet he is so soft.
Equal parts, would you say? Is it a 50-50? Yeah. All right.
He's just intense, and he has an opinion, and he wants to share it with people.
That's what he does.
And he seems surly sometimes.
Sometimes.
But when he talks about the show This Is Us,
he melts.
He does. It's so funny. And he always asks me if I've seen it. He's completely ignored you, even though you've watched it since day one as well.
There's kind of a code amongst men.
Is that what it is?
We watch it. You know, Grant Mulvey comes to my house. You know this. He comes to my house every week, and we watch it together. And we cry.
Never gets old.
We laugh. We cry. It's every emotion in an hour. And then we go back and we watch our favorite scenes a second time. But guys have this code, Wendy, where we don't discuss the feelings that This Is Us brings us.
It's the feelings everybody gets, guy or girl. It just pulls at your heartstrings.
This Modern Love show...
Yeah, I got to watch that. It's Modern Love. That was it.
That's one, again, men are not supposed to like, but I find myself enjoying it immensely. Very good. Now, the weird thing about this is, because it's an anthology series, unlike This Is Us, where you kind of know what you're getting every week, you know you're going to find out some stuff about the Pearsons. It's going to spin your head around a little bit. With this, it's different characters. It's different storylines every week. So some shows, some episodes are great and some are not, but you never know until you're seeing it, until it's over.
As we went to Red Lobster last night, I came home and I had to watch The Walking Dead because I'm always fearful that someone's going to ruin something for me.
Either on the internet or somebody you encounter in life. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't watch it.
I did not see last night's yet. I'm going to watch it today.
All right. But I managed to get that in, but then we were looking at midnight and I get up early. So I couldn't watch The Watchmen, which I wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. Sick of Myself is the other one. I'm sick of myself with Paul Rudd. These are just things I have to put on my to-do list.
Living with yourself.
Oh. Ooh. Freudian slip.
I think Sick of Myself.
That's my series. It's a web series.
That's a hard show to get behind, I would imagine.
Living with Myself.
Yeah.
And Modern Love. That was the one I couldn't think of this weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
The episode we watched, Terry and I watched another episode last night of Modern Love, and it was... Usually when you think about love, the word creepy shouldn't enter into it, but last night's episode was creepy. I won't say why.
Should I start with that one then?
No.
Do they use the Modern Love David Bowie song as their intro?
No. Mm-mm. Hmm. It's not. You know what it's connected to? There's a column in the New York Times called Modern Love where people write and they tell their stories. And all the episodes are taken directly from specific columns.
An but Amazon last night's original.
Was creepy. They really run the gamut of emotions, and you do find yourself getting a little teary eyed sometimes, and then you find yourself laughing at stuff. You find yourself upset about stuff. You'll recognize yourself in some of the characters. Last night's episode was creepy.
You have just described going through menopause.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's happening similar, to you.
Well, thank you. I am too. I wish it hadn't taken so long. Should have done it years ago. Wendy, here's what I found. Tell me if this sounds appealing to you. Over at countryliving.com, which is my homepage, this is where I spend all my time on the internet at countryliving.com.
I used to subscribe to that.
Did you?
Yeah.
They have said, look at how much progress we've met, progress or regress, depending on what your vantage point is, in the last 50 years. They've chronicled things that happened 50 years ago as opposed to the way things are now. Just to say, you might think that time is moving at a certain rate, but look at all the stuff that was going on in 1969 as opposed to today 50 years later.
I have breaking news, though.
Uh-oh.
A death in the news.
Oh. It would. Before you say who it is, can you tell me how this will affect me on a scale of 1 to 10? How will I will react to it on a scale of 1 to 10? Is this really disturbing or just mildly disturbing?
In a behind-the-scenes kind of way, I think it's going to disturb you.
Uh-oh. All right. Go ahead.
Robert Evans.
Oh. That is upsetting.
Former actor.
The kid stays in the picture.
He what did he have to do with The Godfather and Rosemary's Baby?
He was a producer.
He was 89 years old.
Yeah. He is a very interesting throwback character, like to the way Hollywood used to be.
And his former wife, Allie McGraw, had this to say: "Our son Joshua and I will miss Bob tremendously. We are so very proud of his enormous contribution to the film industry. He will be remembered as a giant." No details of his death were immediately available.
That may have been the love of his life, Allie McGraw. And then he lost her to Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
That didn't go well.
He was named head of production at Paramount at age 36.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. He did a little bit of everything.
Yes. He shepherded such classics as The Odd Couple, Goodbye Columbus, True Grit, The Italian Job, Love Story, Harold and Maude, and Lady Sings the Blues.
Isn't that an impressive list?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a documentary about him called The Kid Stays in the Picture that's really good. It's about 20 years old.
So was I correct? This is disturbing to you behind the...
Yeah.
I mean, 89.
Yeah. Always tan.
Yeah, and very
always
handsome.
Always tan. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, so sorry. I just wanted to give our breaking news.
All right. Well, that's...
Robert Evans, Hollywood legend.
On the farm. He bought the farm.
He produced Chinatown and The Godfather. Died at the age of 89. Is that the one that you're going to laugh at now for the rest of the day and just think you can go home?
Nope.
Why'd you look to Jazz? Did you like that one?
My favorite look, and I've said this before, is Jasmine gets a look on her face sometimes, which is, I can't believe I chose this as a career. I can't believe it. What was I thinking?
Yeah, but the look on your face is like, did you hear that one?
No.
How'd I do?
No, because in my, Jazz, you never heard of Robert Evans until today, did you? So it's not going to affect her the way it affects me, so... As upset as you were with my down on the farm, I thought maybe I'd get something from Jasmine, but the only look from Jasmine is, next. And I don't blame
her.
Not
in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way.
How many people was he married to? It wasn't just Ally McGraw, was it?
No. He was married to other women, but I think from seeing that documentary about him, I think that was the absolute love of his life.
He was married to Lady Victoria White.
Yes.
Currently?
Are you sure?
No.
In the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2005 to 2006. I don't know who that is.
Lindsay Lohan for a while, I think. No?
No.
No? Amanda Bynes?
My God, she's just happy you mentioned her name.
I don't remember. I think the other women he was married
to. Phyllis George.
Was he married to Phyllis George?
All right,
I'm not sure.
He married Camilla Sparv, a model and actor.
Camilla Cabello?
Then married Ally McGraw in 1969, divorced in 72. Married Phyllis George in 1977. Oh. That only lasted a year. And I thought so. Catherine Oxenberg.
Oh, from Dynasty?
Yeah. Married her in 98.
That's quite an age difference.
Oh, they got married July 12th, 1998, and it was annulled July 21st of that same year.
Because of the age difference.
And then...
Dennis Quaid called him and said, that's a crazy age difference. This is never going to work.
And then married to Leslie Ann Woodward, a model, 2002, only lasted for a year.
Wow.
And only one son, Joshua, with Ally McGraw.
So he would get married often, but the marriages didn't last long.
He was really kind of handsome in a weird, smarmy kind of way.
I'm looking at a picture of him in black and white, and he's still tan in a black and white picture.
Yeah.
That's how tan he was. That's amazing.
All right. Well, sorry I interrupted.
No, it needed to be done. You did the right thing. You broke in. Sometimes on Rock Tracks, Wendy, I'll be taping an episode of Rock Tracks, sometimes with Boz Scaggs. And if there's a major story.
All the time with Boz Scaggs.
Not all the time.
He's the only guest you've ever had.
I'll have to look at the records. I don't know if that's true or not. I think we've had other guests. I can't remember any of them because Boz does such a great job.
Did you ask him why he's called Boz?
Yeah, his mom and dad, his formal name on his birth certificate is Bozo, and as a shortened version of it, his nickname is just Boz. But legally, it's Bozo Ronald Skaggs. All right, so here are things, Wendy, that happened 50 years ago.
It's William Royce Skaggs, so he lied to you.
I'm not sure it is. Where are you getting that from?
The internet.
Consider the source.
Okay.
All right. All right, so 50 years ago, 1969, see if you remember these things. If you wanted to get cash, you had to go to a bank in 1969. ATMs had not been existence yet. Yeah. It says, although Barclays, that's a bank, introduced the world's first automated teller machine in London in 1967, ATMs didn't make their way here in the United States until later in 1969.
And do you still call it a cash station? Because that's what it was called originally.
I remember when they were called cash stations.
I still kind of say, hey, where's the cash station? And my kids go, what is that?
But people say now, they say the ATM machine, but the M stands for machine.
Automated teller machine?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. Oh. So you're saying machine twice. Just like if you say I'm going for some TCBY yogurt, the Y is already your yogurt in that equation.
Little things bother you.
It doesn't bother me. I'm just, Boz Scaggs brought that up with me the other day on Rock Tracks. In 1969, Wendy, hard to believe but true, there were no R-rated movies.
Really?
Yeah. It says there were no other rated movies either. This according to the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America. They replaced the all-or-nothing motion picture production code in 1968. The ratings became G, general audience, M, mature audience, R, restricted audience, and X, don't tell your mom and dad you're seeing this.
I am rated all of the above, G, M, R, and X.
Right, it depends
on certain points.
Which day, yeah. But all that happened in 1969. They're also...
That's interesting.
You know how now we have a rating that's PG? It used to be GP.
General practitioner.
General public.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then it became PG. Somebody just inverted it, and it stuck.
Well, parental guidance.
Parental guidance, yeah. But why, like, what wasn't GP providing that PG does? Like, why did they go, this is nuts with the GP. We got to switch to PG.
Did they?
Yeah.
I think you're right on that.
Yeah.
But it seems like, why would they... General public.
Maybe because of the band. Maybe they got involved.
I think GP turned into G. They just dropped the P.
I thought GP just became PG. I think. I could be
wrong. Bingo.
In 1969, Wendy, the Beatles were still a band.
That's sad.
The group released their White Album and the movie Yellow Submarine in November of 1968. They were a band into 1969, but that's when they broke up. And I've now been told it's not because of Yoko.
I'm getting sick of everybody blaming. I mean, they would have broken up regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you believe that?
Yes.
She played a part
of
it.
Right.
But she wasn't the...
I agree
you
with
know,
you. She wasn't the be-all and end-all, as the kids like to say.
Ask Peter Asher. We're going to have him
I'll
on
ask Peter Asher,
tomorrow.
And I will ask Boz
Skaggs.
Is going to be
course.
My guest on Rock Tracks next weekend. Humans had not yet walked on the moon. In 1968, the Apollo program's second manned spacecraft orbited the moon and then safely returned on December 28th, 7 months before Apollo 11's actual moon landing.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Do you remember I'm going to call it moon fever, but I don't think that's the right name for it. But everybody was, I mean, because of the accomplishment involved of getting guys to the moon safely and back, like every day that was the thing, was just talking about the moon. It was big news.
Well, it was big news.
Huge news. I remember having, all right, so the toys you could get at the time were Major Matt Mason, Billy Blastoff, and no, I was never called that once as a child, ever. And then the other one was this helmet that RCA made that was like a replica of the helmets that the astronauts wore, and you would put on a record, and then there was a tube that fed into your earpieces in the helmet, so it would sound like you were on a space mission.
That's pretty cool when you think
cool.
about it.
It
I'm rolling
cool.
my eyes, but it's no. back then that was pretty cool. I don't remember my brother having any of those, but he was
None
older.
Of them?
He was older in 69.
My brother Adam and I would put on the helmets, and then we would sync up the sound, and then we would walk around in our room like in slow motion, you know, like we were walking in space.
Of course,
we'd do
you
that
did.
For a long time.
Like how long?
Days. We wouldn't go to school for days. Because we were on a moon mission. this one is jarring, and you say to yourself, how could this be just 50 years ago? But there was no Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
that
me.
That came later on. Congressman John Conyers Jr. introduced legislation to create the holiday shortly after Dr. King's assassination, but it took 15 years... and a petition signed by more than 3 million people to make that day a reality. President Ronald Reagan signed the bill into law in 1983. It was observed for the first time in January of 1986. That's when Martin Luther King Day started.
God, that took a long time,
what
man.
What took so long?
I don't
That's
know.
That's awful. That should have been an immediate. Housing discrimination was rampant. Now, these keep saying 1968... as if to say 1969 was the game-changing year. So I don't know. It says that this was just written 2 weeks ago, but I don't know why they keep referencing 1968, because that was not 50 years ago. That was 51 years ago.
Yes.
Right? my math is correct. In 1968, couples were married much earlier in life than they are today. Boy, that's true.
It's kind of turned around, though. I know our parents married at an earlier age.
How old were your parents?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. 30s.
Were they?
I don't even know. Isn't that terrible? Mm. I really don't have any idea.
Mine were 26 when they got married. 27 when I was born.
My grandparents were like in their 20s for sure. But then I was 34 when we got married. Yeah, I was 34.
Yeah.
I've noticed people getting married in their 20s. It's like seems to be shifting.
Shifting younger again?
Yeah, and
really?
Then it'll go older again. I know people, you know.
None of my daughters are 22. They'll be 23 in a little over a month. None of their friends are married, but I remember like when my mom had friends and most of them were already married in their early 20s. You know, like she was one of the oldest of her friend group to get married at 26.
Really?
Almost all of her friends were already married.
I was going to ask you how you remember this, but...
I just have a gift.
Even before you were conceived, you still had...
I was still keeping track, yeah, of what was what. Yep. In 1968, the median age of first marriage was 20 for women and 23 for men. That's in 1968. That's the median age, 20 for women, 23 for men. Back then, close to 70% of American adults were married. Today, only 51% are.
There's no need to get married anymore.
Well, there's no need to get married, and there also used to be a shame in divorce that just doesn't exist. And
we've
gotten past that. But back then, just the mere act of going through a divorce was like a scarlet letter.
But there are, you're right, but people don't get married, even if they have kids,
right.
And they're still together sometimes. Like, Goldie
right.
Hawn and Kurt Russell never really officially got married, did
nope.
they? And how long have they been together?
40 years,
yeah.
maybe? Yeah, right. But also, you know how it was a thing then in the 60s that you had to get married? If something happened... If a baby was on the way, you had to get married.
Right.
And then that just went away also.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too. Right.
Boy, times have changed, though. And,
a lot.
For the better. But then times have reversed for the worse
in some ways. Yeah,
it's
right.
so weird. I just feel like we should still be on a path to everything
right.
getting better and better and better. Why the backslide?
That's the question. That's the biggest question. In 1968, so again, they're saying 50 years ago, but that was 51 years ago. So let's just say that out loud. The Secret Service did not protect presidential candidates. After presidential hopeful Senator Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated on the campaign trail June the 5th of 1968, Congress then passed legislation calling for Secret Service protection for major political candidates. I'm trying to remember if the Secret Service also protected all family members of presidents. They must have,
well,
right?
Well, these are candidates of people who didn't even win.
Right.
So that's
right.
different, you know. But presidents, yeah, they'd have to protect the whole family.
So now, all right, there are we at 12 or 13 Democrats running for president? Is the Secret Service detail on they must be on them 24 hours a day on all 13
yeah,
of them, right?
Yeah, it says that
must
changed
be.
In 68. Wow, I should have applied to be a Secret Service agent.
You still can.
Because I wouldn't look like one. I would throw people off.
No one would expect it from mm-hmm. you. You should do it, Wendy. Just on weekends or something. It's fun.
No.
The drinking age back then, 51 years ago, was 18.
Yeah.
Universal. Well, within the United States, anyway. Interracial romance was not shown on television.
Who was the first?
I know.
Yes, you do.
You just asked me this question a month ago.
And you knew the answer.
I did know the answer. You should know it, too.
I found it on a quiz show.
Yep.
It was on the Jeffersons.
It was not on the Jeffersons. That was not on 50 years ago. The first interracial kiss on TV took place November 2nd, 1968.
Diane Carroll?
No. Diane, if I remember right on Julia, I don't remember any of her suitors being white guys.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
I think that was still a little bit dangerous for them, I think.
I'm cheating.
Like now, whenever I see commercials, there's always interracial couples, and nobody bats an eye. And I say to myself, well, that shows that there's progress, is that no one's boycotting that store because they're showing an interracial couple.
Right. I'm so mad at myself because I did know this. You know that. I knew this.
I think you did.
Okay, because yeah. I really did, and I'm mad at myself. Go ahead and give the answer.
The first interracial kiss on TV took place November 2nd, 1968, between William Shatner and Nichelle Nichols. Uhura and Kirk, that was the first time. I wonder what... it says here, before it aired, NBC censors reportedly expressed concern that Southern TV affiliates would refuse to run the episode. I wonder what the backlash was, because I bet for people who grew up never seeing that, and all of a sudden they're watching TV and they see an interracial kiss, my guess is a lot of people were very jarred by it and went, wait, what am I seeing? It's the beginning of the end. I can't believe I'm watching this.
No, it was the beginning of Shatner being, you know, the cad that he was. He'd kiss anyone and anything.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
And I guess they did not run it in certain markets, correct? There were
some. It doesn't say here, but I think that's the case.
Yeah.
I think some people did a preemptive strike and just went, we know there's going to be trouble, so we'll just duck out on this. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night, until we meet.
All right, Wendy, that's it for today's episode, the Monday edition of the Bonus Hour. Tomorrow, the Tuesday edition, it should be fun. Join us then.
Okay.
Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN. Chicago.
On Nexstar Media Group Station.